Take your Bible, if you would, please. Open it to Romans chapter 12. Quality is something that we talk about. Quality is something that we want in things that we consume. You want quality food. You want quality clean water that's good quality. You want good quality clothing and all sorts of things that we deal with in life. We want them to be high quality. Some things more important than others. If you had medical attention, you'd want that to be quality. If you bought tires, you'd want those to be, you know, for your truck or automobile, you'd want those to be decent quality. Pretty much anything. Quality, you see, is a degree of excellence in something, whatever that something might be, a value. And as Christians, we want to have a good quality of mind. And that being the case, we can't go with the old man nature mind, the carnal mindset like the world does. We have to go with the spiritual mindset. And here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The purpose, therefore, of renewing one's mind is simply put, to prove God's word. And what I have chosen for a title in this teaching today is newness of mind. Newness of mind. In the word renew, we have the word new. To renew means to make it new again. In the Greek, it literally means new it up. And a new, which is different, not in time, because you got the same old mind that you had before. You have the same old brain, and in that brain there's a mind, and that mind is what you think with, some of you, and some of you don't think much with it, but all kidding aside, we all think to some degree, right? But there are some people in the world who only think that they think. Very little going on in the between the left ear and the right ear, just white noise. Kind of like when you didn't tune that radio to the right channel, just static. But of course, new, it doesn't mean that when you renew your mind that you actually change the organ that holds your thoughts and all those different faculties, emotions, and the capacity for memory and such. It means you change the quality of it. You make it new in a different kind of quality, a quality that was different than that you had previously. If you compare the world, being conformed to the world, and putting God's word on in your mind, newing up your mind with the word of God, it's a totally different quality, a new quality. In Matthew chapter 9, this time of year, this being the year 2016 of our Lord. Can you imagine? 2016. Why, it was a scant 16 years ago that people were speaking of Y2K. Actually, it would have been 15 years ago because this just now turned 2016. You'd have to wait till December of 2016 to eat up that new year, right? But that being said, kind of like how old you are. That being said, it's 16 years already since people were all in a tizzy about what might happen. And my thoughts at the time were just the emotional mindset of people can alter the outcome of what happens. You know, people get fearful, people get anxious, people will act in certain ways that will affect others. And society, as you know, it can change drastically. We see changes going on in our culture, even as I speak, and they're not good ones. We have a lot of animosity, a lot of racism, a lot of hatred. As Jesus said so many years ago, when the love of God waxes cold, that's right, iniquity does what? It abounds. And so, see there, you get good quality of mind there, Sean. You were thinking spiritually. And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to have that quality of mind. Well, we're not thinking according to the world, but we're thinking according to the Word. And there's a great passage in Matthew chapter 9, if you go there. We've looked at these before. But as I was saying, this being the new year, 2016, people want to look at everything in a new light, be a better version of themselves than they were last year, and all of this kind of things and all these resolutions that people make. And I heard a fellow say yesterday that if he's asked people over the years, at the end of the year, they couldn't even remember what resolutions they had made at the beginning of the year. What was your New Year's resolution last year? And they can't even tell you. And so we know that doesn't work, that these New Year's resolutions don't work. But we do know that renewing one's mind does work, that we prove God's will when we do so, and that we have a new quality in our mind. And here's a great passage, Matthew chapter 9. We'll begin reading in verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" If you're in a bride chamber, if you're having a wedding or a reception or preparation for the same, there's no mourning going on. It's celebration, right? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. And he was talking about himself, that he would be taken. And then verse 16, he said this remarkable thing, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up, taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." It's more obvious. When you have an old garment and it's worn out or it tears and you patch it with new material, when you put new material on it, it brings your attention to the patch. Sometimes a repair makes the rent or the problem appear worse, because now you're looking at the repair. I can remember years ago in the auto trade, when you went to the new car dealer, they would always have these little bottles of touch-up paint, that if you got a chip or a scratch on your new car, you could take this little bottle, no bigger than a nail polish bottle, a little brush in it, shake that puppy up, the right color of course, and you'd touch up the chip or the scratch, and every time, to me, you could see that more than you could see the chip or the scratch, because now you had this fresh, bright paint that was not at the same level as the other paint. It was raised, and so made it look worse. And the bigger the repair, the bigger the scratch or the chip, and the more paint that you put on there, the worse it would look. And so that is true for clothing as well, right? Now, back in the 60s and the 70s, it became fashionable to have patches. And so they would put these patches on their blue jeans and flannel shirts with the intent of, hey, look, I've got a mushroom on my patch, right? Or I have a butterfly on my patch. Ain't I cool? And so it wasn't a question of trying to make it look like a new piece of cloth again. Jesus is talking about, you can't make that old piece of cloth look new. You can't take a piece of new material and put it in an old piece of cloth and make the entire piece of cloth look new. He goes on further to say, "No man, neither do men, put new wine into old bottles." Now these wouldn't be bottles, they'd be skins. And the new wine would be young wine. And when you take wine and you make wine, there is a process that takes place which causes the release of gases. And the gases sometimes put bubbles in there, like champagne. Champagne has bubbles in it, right? They call it bubbly. They also have bubbly wines. But with any alcohol, that whole fermentation process, there's a release of gas. The little things that cause the fermentation release gas, whether it be yeast or whatever. And if you put that young wine, which is still maturing, it's not fully mature, if you put it in an old skin, what will happen is the skin or the bottle will do what? It will break, it will burst, it will leak. Now, of course, it's not a bottle like we have bottles. They used animal skins. And when you take an animal skin and you make a bottle out of it, a flask out of it, perhaps you've seen skin flasks. I have. They were popular in the 60s also, I might add. They also popular in the 70s, the age that fashion had forgotten. Anyway, the skins, they once they're old and they're dry and they're no longer green, they lose their elasticity. A new skin will have a certain amount of elasticity to it until it dries and it becomes mature and older. So you don't put young wine, which is still expanding, into an old skin, which is already as big as it's going to get volume-wise and is no longer elastic, because if you do, that skin will rupture and you will lose the wine and the bottle or the skin will perish. But men, they put young wine into new bottles and both are preserved. You see, the young or freshly made wine can be preserved if it's put in a young or freshly made skin. What he was really talking about had nothing to do with wine, had nothing to do with cloth, had everything to do with the doctrine that he spoke and the religious systems that men embrace. You cannot take the doctrine of God's word and put it into a rigid religious system, because what will happen is the religious system will reject it and you will lose the doctrine of God's word. He used the bottles as an example of what would happen. It's just a figure to make it more evident as to what would happen. But what he was really talking about was the word of God that he spoke, and how you cannot put that word of God into an old man-made religious system. You cannot. You'll either break the system and lose the word of God, the system won't hold it, or it'll stick out like a sore thumb. Like a conversation I had with a young man some time ago that, listening to my teachings, realized in one of the teachings that I did not believe that Jesus was God. I believe that he's the Son of God. That God is spirit, and he is the Father and the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the verse of scripture that I was sharing on that caught his attention was in John, where we read in John, it says that no man hath seen God at any time. Well, lots of men have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this arrested this young man's attention. And he told me, he said, you know, Reverend Linus, if I were to say that in the church that I go to, because he was going to a church, he said, they would ostracize me. They would toss me out. They wouldn't want to hear it. Because no man puts new wine in an old bottle, or else the bottle breaks and the wine runs out and both are lost. No man takes a new piece of material and patches a rent on an old piece of material, because if he does so, it makes the rent or the tear look worse. You've got to change the container. So we change our containers, because you're not going to change, you're not going to become a new, different person, but your quality of thinking can change. If you, and sometimes, you know, people think of the quality of mind as the ability to be open-minded. Did you know that? A quality of mind, one of the qualities they consider, is a person who is able to take in a new concept and not wrestle with it. That type of open-mindedness. Somebody once said that small minds talk about people, medium-sized minds talk about things or events, great minds talk about the Word of God. And so the mind can be renewed in quality by renewing it with the Word of God. And you can put that Word of God in there and it will just fit just fine, and you'll have a new quality of life to go along with it. Look in Romans 6. Change your thinking, change your life. See, nobody changes overnight. That's for sure. But if you can get a new image in your mind, then your life will begin to change. Because it's your heart, which is in the center of your mind, from which all the issues in your life proceed. If you want new issues in your life for the new year, you need to have new issues in your mind, a new quality. Here in Romans 6, beginning in verse 4, we read, "We are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in" what? "Newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no dominion over him anymore. For in that he dieth unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace." Newness of life, a new type of life, which is dictated by a spiritual mindset, not a carnal mindset. A carnal mindset is the one that the world embraces. Since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and lost their spiritual connection with God, the sin nature was a part of man. All men are born with sin nature, carnal nature. All of us. That sin nature is called the old man. It's as old as you are. From the time you received Christ and were filled with God's Spirit, you have the new man. The new man is one that's fashioned in righteousness after the Creator. The new man is the one that we need to get our minds fashioned like. People in the world fashion their mind according to the old man's sin nature, the carnal nature. The carnal nature is what's known as the five senses man, the soul man. The five senses man bases everything in his life on what he can see, what he can taste, what he can touch, what he can hear, and what he can... What did I leave out? Taste, touch, see, hear. Feel is touch. Smell, thank you. Stinky. What he can smell. I'm not calling you stinky. You know. What he deems as stinky. In other words, the senses man, the carnal man, is only interested in one person. Guess who that person is? Himself. He's self-centered. And all he can see in life, or she, is what pertains to what they like. Other people don't matter. We don't want to be that way. That's old man nature. We want to live according to the new man. The old man was buried with Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ died. We want to live a new type of life. And Romans chapter 7, verse 6 tells us that newness of spirit makes for a new type of life. Verse 6, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The oldness of the letter is the touch not, taste not, handle not. That's the world. That's religion. People in the world, by virtue of their religious beliefs, think that if they do this or don't do this or do that or don't do that or touch this or don't touch that or eat this or don't eat that and so forth, that that will make them righteous. And righteous is being right in every category. But it won't. None of that will. None of that law will. None of that spirit of the letter will. We want to serve in newness of spirit, not in oldness of the letter. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I know these are familiar passages, but entering a new year is also familiar to us. And we want this year to be a good one. We want every day to be a good day. The only way to do that is to live in newness of mind. In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things, now that's a figure of speech, because your mind will automatically add in there, if you're thinking and focused, new. All things new are of God. See, if you read it that way, it's a figure to emphasize it. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things, what things? New things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. It doesn't say God was Christ, it says God was in Christ. Just like it says about us, it is God in Christ in you. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be the sin payment, the payment for sin for us. Not sin, he wasn't sin. He was the substitute for sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a tremendous truth. When you get born of God's Spirit, you literally have new life. The first time you were born, it was a natural birth, with body and soul life only, no spirit. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, you are born a second time with a new kind of life, spirit life. With a new life, you receive a lot of new things. In verse 17, we read, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In the King James Version of the Bible, in the text, that word all appears, but it does not appear in most Greek texts. The word all is omitted in the text read by Lachman, Tischendorf, Tregallis, and Alford. Those are all recognized Bible scholars. not all things are become new, but many things are become new. And the all things that are become new with the new life are of God because we've received them from God. A lot of people think that when you get saved, when you accept Jesus as Lord, that everything changes. That's not true. The things change because you've decided to walk on the things that now are new in your life. Things such as being a child of God. That's new. You weren't a child of God before. You hear people in the world talk of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Nonsense. There's only two ways you can be a brother to another man or a sister to another woman. That's if you are biologically related or if you are spiritually related. So if you and I are not biologically related, then we are not biological sons of the same father and the same mother. We are therefore then not brothers. I may call you bro, but if I do, it's for a different reason other than being actually biologically related. But if you're born of God's Spirit, then you are my bro. You are my sis, all that. Because the relationship is spiritual. The other thing that you didn't have before is reconciliation. That's new. Before, we were separated from God. Once you receive God's Spirit, you and God are brought back together again because you've been made sanctified. You weren't sanctified before. You have peace with God. You didn't have that before. That's new. You have righteousness. God's righteousness. That's new. You think every person in the world has righteousness? Think again. Once you get saved, you have spiritual righteousness. But you've got to act that way. You have to have newness of mind to realize any of these things. You have redemption. You've been made holy. You're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You have the ministry of reconciliation and the word with which to enforce the ministry of reconciliation. You've been saved from the wrath to come. That's new. Not everybody's saved from the coming wrath. You have access to God. You didn't have that before. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. You're unblameable. You were blamed before. You have remission and forgiveness of sins. You're acceptable and unreprovable in God's sight. Those are all new things. So the word all doesn't really belong there, does it? So if we read it without the word all, we would read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, things are become new. So what things? Well, things that are of God. Those are the things that are new because you didn't have them before. New things. Look in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. Lying is part of the sin nature. We're not supposed to lie, because lying is a carnal action, a carnal deed, part of the old man, who is as old as you are. When a person lies to another person, they're not doing it for the other person's benefit. They are carnal, therefore, who are they satisfying? Themselves. The lie is to benefit the liar. It's not to benefit the person who's lied to or deceived. You see, lying is part of that carnal sin nature. Ain't nothing good about sin, baby. Not a thing. And even though the world doesn't want to acknowledge that certain things are sinful, it does not change the reality. Sin, from God's perspective, means you have missed the mark. If I take you to the shooting range and you do not hit the target, I don't care how close you came. A miss is as good as a mile. Whether you missed it by an inch or you missed it by a yard, you did what? You missed. So sin is missing the mark, God's mark. Sin is always part of the carnal man's mindset. The man that only realizes what he can smell, taste, touch, feel, or hear. One of those five senses and what that does to benefit him or her. So we put off lying and, having done that, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's what? Renewed. It's a new quality. It's newed up. The quality of it has changed. There's a quality in thinking according to the new man rather than thinking according to the old man. We want quality in our lives, right? We established that in the opening of this teaching, that quality is something we're concerned about. Quality is a degree of excellence in something, a value. There is no value into something that lacks quality, right? You buy a product and it's not good quality, that's not worth much to you, right? That's where the saying, you get what you pay for, comes from. Quality, because you're paying for quality, hopefully, right? So if something is low quality or poor quality or inferior quality, it's going to be something that you're disappointed with, or it's going to fail you. Well, the carnal mindset, which includes lying, is low quality. It's of little to no value. And so when we want to have a quality in our life, we need a newness of our mindset, which means we need to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge. After or according to the image of him that created him. Well, the new man in you is spirit. And who created the new man in you? God did. And what is God's image? Spirit. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. So there you go. That would take care of all of the things that are currently tearing our world apart. The racism. Because there are Greeks and there is Jews and there are circumcised and uncircumcised. There are barbarians. There are Scythians. There are bondsmen. There are free. They're not all in all because they're carnal, you understand? It's only in the new man that that makes no difference. Male, female, doesn't matter. It matters to the carnal man. So when you hear all this tripe in the world about, you know, a war on women or feminism or, you know, these lives matter or those lives matter or whatever, racism and hatred and what flag you're flying and blah, 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 and horse pucky. That's what my dad used to say, blah, 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 and horse pucky. But he didn't say pucky. You could figure that out on your own. So the point of it is, that's all carnal. That's low quality, little value, no value. We want a new quality, and that means a new quality of mind. Look at Ephesians 4. Back a book. Newness of mind. You want to be a brand new person? Change your mind. Renew your mind. Prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation, that would be behavior, lifestyle, the old man, which is or who is what? Corrupt. And how? What's the standard for that corruption? Lust. And what kind of lust? Deceitful. And who is deceived by that lust? The person who is lusting. Lust and sin are deceitful. Yeah, stop and think about that a minute. Okay? Lust is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. That means the person who is lusting doesn't realize that they are lusting or that it's wrong. It's good for them. Don't you see? The person who is sinning is tricked. They don't realize they're deceived. They think it's okay because maybe it feels good. Or maybe they think it benefits them. But you know what? It doesn't. And sooner or later, it all catches up. You can't, you know, it's like Joe Louis used to say in the boxing ring. You can run, but you can't hide. It's a small ring, right? That's how life is. You can run, but you can't hide, can you? And so sin is lustful. And that old man is lustful. The standard by which the old man nature is corrupt is lust. So it's based on that person who is living according to the old man nature. It's based on their personal desire, because lust is a desire. Now, most people equate lust with sexual intimacies, but it's much more than that. Can it be that? Certainly. But it's more than that. Lust is an over-desire. It could be an over-desire for anything. It could be an over-desire for stimulants. It could be an over-desire for material goods. It could be an over-desire for anything. Name it. Chocolate. Now, chocolate doesn't count, right, Sue? No. Can never be lustful of chocolate. Of course you can. You can have an over-desire for anything. If you eat too much chocolate, what happens? You feel miserable, right? You don't feel good. Your blood sugar goes all over the place. You want to fall asleep, and then you wake up, you've got a hangover. So that's all based on the old man. Put that off and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be new, new quality of mind, a new mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a chapter in Job I'd like to read a couple of verses from with you. Job, of course, one of the oldest books in the Bible. Some scholars believe it is the oldest book in the Bible in terms of the first one being written, not Genesis. We're going to Job 29, if you would, please. Job 29. Job was a righteous man. He was very wealthy. He had great family, all this stuff, and everything was great in life. But he was fearful. And the thing that Job feared came upon him, and he lost everything. And it took him a while to get it back because of his pride, because he thought that his own righteousness was what really mattered. But he finally came to his senses. And this 29th verse, Job is talking about where he was, what he was, what he had, what he did, what he thought, and then it ends with what he had. But right here, in the 14th verse, Job says something recorded in the Word that's remarkable. He's recorded as having said, I'm in verse 14, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. A diadem would be a crown. I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. A father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I stretched out. I broke the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. Boy, what a record. Isn't that what everybody wants? Isn't it what everybody wants? To put on righteousness and be clothed with it? To put on judgment as a robe and a crown? Isn't that what everybody wants, even craves? Yet, we have it. God has clothed us with his righteousness. It's in the new man. It's there. There's no need to crave it. There's no need to search for it. You already have it. So why not live like you have it? That would require renewing your mind. Renewing. New upping. Your mind. To new it up with the Word of God. Look at Isaiah 59. Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. And 59th chapter. Isaiah 59. Here's Isaiah reproving Israel. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that you will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None called for justice, nor any pleaded for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and their act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made their crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity for brightness. But we walk in darkness. Again, Isaiah, the prophet, reproving Israel. We grope for the will like the blind, and we grope for it if we had no eye, as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Now this is what I wanted to get to with you, and we'll look at it in the New Testament. Hopefully, you're already seeing where this relates to the New Testament. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on for his garments of vengeance for clothing. He was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay. He will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer, that's our Lord and Savior, shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of my mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And I'd like to conclude with you in Ephesians chapter 6, where we find a citation to some of which we just read in Isaiah. In Ephesians 6, the last chapter, and beginning in the 14th verse, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This we must do if we wish to lead new lives, a new type of life. And this we can only do if we have a newness of mind, which is only available through the renewing of one's mind by the proving of God's word and will. The only way to do it, the renewed mind. New up your mind with God's word. You'll prove his will. Your life will sing.